Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. Going to be starting off with movie news like I usually do. After that, I will be discussing the new Thor Love and Thunder trailer. After that, I will be reviewing Bob's Burgers Season 1 in preparation for the Bob's Burgers movie that I'm going to be seeing on Friday. And last but not least, I will be reviewing 1986's Top Gun in preparation for Top Gun Maverick. So lots to get to today, but before I get into any of it, I do have to thank today's sponsors. I want to thank Audible for sponsoring this review. And if you don't know, Audible is the best platform out there when it comes to audiobooks, podcasts, guided meditation, and even sleep sounds. Got all sorts of stuff on their platform. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which allows you to get one credit or two credits for Prime members. Good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. And they also offer the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. And also, at the end of your trial, a friendly email reminder before your trial ends. And yeah, it's a really great service. I don't get a chance to listen to too many audiobooks, but I do love to listen to podcasts. I also really love the sleep sounds. I use them every single night. So I highly recommend you check out this service. It's fantastic. And once again, that link is audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the review.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
First piece of news here comes from comicbook.com, and their headline is The Last of Us HBO series director reveals release window. They go on to say here in a new interview, director, and I'm probably going to butcher this name, Ken Tamar Balagov, who helmed the pilot episode of The Last of Us, indicated when the series will actually be premiering on HBO. While acknowledging that the show is still in the production process, Balagov said that, based on his own understanding, it's set to release early next year. Now, this is a show I'm actually quite excited for. I never played too much of the first Last of Us game. I didn't play the second one, but I played a decent amount of the first one and really liked the story. It's just scary games and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, I like scary movies and stuff, but when I'm playing it, it feels like I'm living it, so it's a little too much for me sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I really like the story there. And I believe Pedro Pascal is going to be in the show, as well as the kid from Game of Thrones. Can't remember her name at the moment, but definitely excited to check this out. And I'm sure a lot of other people are as well. But on to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here is kind of some old news, but it's coming from comingsoon.net. And their headline is Marvel Studios can now feature Stan Lee's likeness in future projects. And they actually recently did this in Spider-Man No Way Home, where they had an actor that was supposed to have a likeness to Stan Lee sitting in the diner at the end. But they go on to say here, nearly 4 years after he passed away at the age of 95, beloved Marvel icon Stan Lee is officially making his way back to Marvel Studios. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Blockbuster Studio has acquired the licensing rights to Lee's name, likeness, voice, and signature in future Marvel Cinematic Universe projects through a 20-year deal with Stan Lee Universe. It really ensures that Stan, through digital technology and archival footage and other forms, will live in the most important venue, the Marvel movies and Disney theme parks. Chairman and CEO of Genius Brands, Andy Hayward, said in a statement, "It's a broad deal. The audience revered Stan, and if it's done with taste and class and respectful of who he was, it will be welcomed. He is a beloved personality, and long after you and I are gone, he will remain the essence of Marvel." Now, I gotta be honest, I don't quite know how I feel about this. Part of me is just like, leave it alone. But another part of me is like, wouldn't it be great to see another Stan Lee cameo and to hear his voice again and have him show up in a Marvel movie or show or, you know, an animated show or what have you. The idea with the theme parks, I'm not 100% sure. Are they going to have, like, a mascot of Stan Lee just standing around, like, the princesses and the Marvel characters and all that kind of stuff? Probably not. Probably just, like, licensing for, you know, merchandise and stuff like that. I mean, it feels a little inevitable. It felt, you know, it feels like this was going to happen at some point. So while I don't feel 100% comfortable about it, you know, I can't change anything. I'm not like, you know, a higher up at Disney or Marvel or anything like that who has a say in this kind of stuff, or really any of us. I'm sure if there's a petition to be like, hey, no, don't do this, I'm sure at past a certain point they'd probably listen. But yeah, it seems like we might be getting more Stan Lee cameos in the future, most likely. So really don't know how I feel about that. Really, really interesting piece of news there. Really gets me thinking. But yeah, that's kind of old news at this point. That was from like last week, but I just wanted to mention it here because, yeah, I just kind of wanted to give my take. But on to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here comes from avclub.com, a website I'm not too familiar with, but hopefully this is, well, I don't know if I want to say hopefully, but we'll see if this is right or not. The final Stranger Things episodes are movie length, the Duffer Brothers reveal. And if there are quotes here, then it should be legit. We've been waiting a long time for the fourth season of Stranger Things, and the Duffer Brothers are rewarding our patience with many, many hours of content. Specifically, Matt Duffer told The Wrap, 7 and 9 in particular are movies, and 9 is a long movie. Oh god. Considering the rest of the episodes are already reported around an hour and 15 minutes, we can only imagine that the longer ones are approaching Marvel movie length. This is insane. Ross Duffer confirmed as much regarding the finale, admitting, we're still refining it, but we will say that it's over 2 hours long. It's a big one. Holy crap, dude. That is a long-ass freaking TV episode, and I'm going to have to sit through all of it. I got to be honest, it's going to take me a while to get through it, so don't expect my review for that to come anytime, you know, anytime soon. Once it does come out, it'll probably take, like, maybe a few days or so, depending on how busy I am and what else is coming out around that time. But like, geez, dude, 2 hour long episode, or maybe not episodes, but a 2 hour long episode just sounds insane to me. But this is supposed to be the finale of the whole series, so I understand why they're doing it. In a way, I'm almost like, man, they should have released this in theaters, and maybe it'll be like a limited release in certain theaters because a lot of them do that. But yeah, crazy to hear that we're going to have a 2 hour long Stranger Things episode, most likely. That is so crazy to me. But yeah, I'm just going to wrap my head around that and get on to the next piece of news. Next piece of news here comes from comingsoon.net, and their headline is Leslie Jones cast as Plastic Woman in DC's adult animated series. According to Variety, Emmy-nominated comedian Leslie Jones has been tapped for the leading role in Warner Bros. Animation's untitled DC adult animated comedy series, which is said to be in the early stages of development. Further details about its plot and characters are still being kept under wraps, but Jones is expected to lend her voice to the role of Plastic Woman, which is a character I really don't know anything about, but let me see what they go on to say here. It is understood that the upcoming series isn't connected at all to the previously announced female-led film adaptation centering around the character of DC superhero Plastic Man. It's also unclear how similar Jones's Plastic Woman will be to the original character. The adult animated comedy will be executive produced by Jones, who recently starred in HBO Max's Our Flag Means Death, which I watched the first episode for. I need to get back onto that. For the reoccurring role of Spanish Jackie. The Saturday Night Live alum is no stranger to the animated genre, as she previously starred in two animated films, 2016's Sing and 2019's The Angry Birds Movie 2. She also voiced a character in Hulu's now-canceled adult animated comedy show The Awesomes in 2015. Oh, let me see. So I'm guessing it's connected to Plastic Man in some way, shape, or form. You know, similar power set there. So it sounds interesting. I'll probably have to check it out. I mean, DC has really great animated shows, especially like the adult animated shows. Harley Quinn, great fucking show. Highly recommend it. Go watch it. So yeah, hopefully this follows the same in the same pattern of that show also being really great and really funny. But yeah, what do you think about this news that Leslie Jones is cast as Plastic Woman? Well, again, like I said, don't really know much about the character, but it sounds interesting and I'll have to check it out. Now on to the last piece of news. And the last piece of news here comes from Screen Rant, and their headline is DC head confirms WB considered Amber Heard recast for Aquaman 2. They go on to say here, following the libel lawsuit filed by Depp against the parent company of British tabloid The Sun in 2018, which Depp lost, and his removal from the Harry Potter spinoff film series Fantastic Beasts, fans were calling for Heard to be removed from Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom as well. With millions signing a petition, the Depp v. Heard trial has revealed salacious details about the actor's relationship, but also about how their ordeal has affected their professional work. Heard has claimed that as a result of her personal dispute with Depp, her role as Mira was significantly cut down from its initial size, and that Warner Brothers wanted to have her removed from Aquaman entirely. While testifying virtually during the Depp v. Heard trial, Hamanda, via The Wrap, has confirmed that the studio considered recasting Heard for Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. However, Hamanda explained, the reason for any casting changes was not because of Heard's personal affairs, but because of a perceived lack of chemistry between her and Momoa in the previous films. I call bullshit, but read what Hamada said below. It was the concerns that were brought up at the wrap of the first movie, which was the issue of chemistry. Did the two have the chemistry? I think editorially they were able to make that relationship work in the first movie, but there was a concern that it took a lot of effort to get there and would be better off recasting. Finding someone who has better, more natural chemistry with Jason Momoa and move forward that way. A lot of people wanted, what's her name? Fucking Mother of Dragons from Game of Thrones. Emilia Clarke. A lot of people wanted Emilia Clarke in there because her and Momoa worked on Game of Thrones together. I wouldn't hate that, but, yeah, everybody wants her out of Aquaman, so doesn't sound like she's going to be. Just that her part's going to be significantly cut down. I think the whole aspect of them saying it has nothing to do with the lawsuit, it's kind of bullshit. I don't think it's fully that. I think it is partially the chemistry because, like, the chemistry in the first Aquaman wasn't that great. But I don't think it was enough to, like, fully recast. I think a lot of it has to do with the trial and the court of public opinion. So, I don't know. I kind of call bullshit a little bit there, but yeah, a lot of people just want her out at this point, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. It's just going to be her role is cut down significantly, which either way, I was going to watch the movie. I watch every fucking movie, so yeah. So that's the last piece of news I have for you guys today. So let's get into that Thor Love and Thunder official trailer. All right, so the first official trailer for Thor Love and Thunder dropped during a Miami Heat game or something like that. I wasn't watching. I was just waiting for the trailer to be available on YouTube. And I was watching it at work. I usually don't do reactions to trailers and stuff like that because, copyright and all that kind of stuff. It's a whole other headache I don't want to deal with. So I usually just do these trailer discussions like I did with the She-Hulk trailer. And this trailer for Thor Love and Thunder was absolutely insane. We got a look at Gore the God Butcher played by Christian Bale. We got a lot more looks at Natalie Portman as Jane Foster coming back once again, but this time in the role of Thor, essentially, She-Thor, Lady Thor, Thor Lady, Lady Thor, something like that, but essentially she's the Mighty Thor in this, and she has Mjolnir and all that kind of stuff, which I love the shot in the trailer of Thor seeing Mjolnir, and it has all the cracks and stuff in it. It's coming towards him, and it's like, hey, remember me? Yeah, asshole, you had me broken by your sister. Thanks a lot for that. But, it starts coming towards him. He's all excited. He's like, oh shit, it's Mjolnir. And, as soon as he goes out to grab it, it flings back the other way and straight into Jane's hands. The shot we saw in the first trailer. And, That might be one of my favorite scenes from the trailer. But another thing we get a decent small look at, honestly, is Russell Crowe as Zeus. And that comes in the final shot of the trailer. We get another shot of him, you know, from the backside, the same shot we got in the first trailer. But this time we see his face, and it's definitely Russell Crowe. And it's on the poster for the movie as well. His name is, at least. I don't know if he is or not, but I'll have to take a closer look at that. But just talking about this trailer, like, you know, breaking down scene by scene, I actually have it pulled up here with the mute on. So, as to avoid any, like, copyright claims or anything like that, but we see the shot of Thor sitting underneath the tree that we saw in the first trailer, kind of just, like, meditating, except this time we see two people walking up the hill towards him, and I'm wondering if it's actually just a couple kids that are, like, curious, like, oh, Korg was just talking about Thor, let's go see if he's actually up here, because in the next shot, in the next scene, Korg is talking about Thor and all the things that he's done, and, you know, saving Earth 500 times, not really 500, but a lot of times, that's for sure. So yeah, Korg's in this cave with a bunch of alien children talking to them about Thor. We get the shot of Thor and the Guardians on that planet, and Thor, you know, taking off that whatever it was, like a robe or some shit like that. Groot's reaction to that is really funny, because, like, when he flings that off, it goes into, like, the face of another alien dude, and Groot is just looking like, okay. That's kind of funny. But yeah, I got some great shots of Thor in action here, summoning lightning with Stormbreaker. And then we have a shot here of New Asgard. You got that Viking ship that is flown, or, you know, pulled by the two flying goats. But on New Asgard, we see a bunch of, like, cruise ships and stuff, and, you know, tourism is a big thing there, I guess, so that'll be interesting to see. You know, the village is kind of updated and upgraded a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I really love the look for Thor and, like, all the shots we have, except for maybe the one with the helmet where he kind of looks like Hawkman. I don't know how I feel about that helmet yet, but, you know, it's not bad. And then we get the whole training montage of Thor losing that gut. Really cool shot of him with this chain, like, over his shoulder, just pulling it, and, the Guardian's ship, you know, trying to fly the other way, and him pulling that. It looks really cool. I can't wait to see the, like, training montage that's in this movie. I'm assuming it's going to be, there's a lot of 80s elements in this first, well, in the first trailer, and then somewhat in this trailer, but more the first trailer for sure. But yeah, I mean, training montages are a pretty 80s thing, so it'd be pretty fitting for this movie, I think. Got a shot here of Thor kicking some ass, and then the Mjolnir shot that I was talking about before. Mjolnir going back to Jane Foster's hand. And then after that, we have Thor with that helmet that I was talking about, being like, Jane, what? Is that you? Reuniting again, that's pretty cool. Let me see, Marvel Studios logo, you got a Pegasus flying in somewhere, Thor and Korg doing something, Jane in action a little bit, Jane saying, like, what has it been, like, 3-4 years, and, Thor's exact words are 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, give or take, but who's counting? So you can definitely tell he's not over Jane, that's for sure. I'm wondering if their romance is gonna be a little rekindled in this movie, or if they're gonna kind of keep them separated. I don't know. I'd be down either way. But also in Thor Ragnarok, I kind of thought that him and Valkyrie were going to have, like, a romance, but maybe not. I don't know. We shall see. Got a few shots of Olympus. Valkyrie being like, she's like sensing some romance or whatever between him and Jane. And she's never met Jane. She wasn't in any of the Thor movies with her. She looks kind of jealous. I don't know. I think Valkyrie might like Thor a little bit, but, yeah, who knows. Then we finally get the introduction to Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher, which honestly, a lot of people were hesitant about his design in the movie. And for me, I like the design, but also I'm a little confused by it because his appearance changes so much throughout this trailer. You know, at times he's just like bald headed with few kind of tattoo looking lines going up his head. At other times he's like scarred and, you know, looks monstrous and stuff like that. And this first shot that we see of him looks like he's on like maybe a comet or a asteroid or something like that. Picking up, oh, Real Rejects just posted their reaction to the trailer. But yeah, we have Gore picking up the sword out of the sand on a beach. And, ooh, really creepy shot of Gore there. He looks horrifying, honestly. I think he looks great. A bunch of, like, vines or tentacles or something like that just moving around him. I know he has, like, tentacles in the comics or whatever. But, yeah, just seeing him right here, like, he has, like, an X right here. And that's a scar, just, like, a bunch of scarring going up his head. You can kind of see those lines going up his head, but not really. Just a lot of scarring. His eyes look creepy. His teeth look creepy. Everything about him looks creepy. So I don't understand, like, can he morph his appearance? I don't know. I don't know much about Gore the God Butcher. I'm not going to lie. Get that shot of the huge beast in the snowy atmosphere. Korgan Thor looking over that we got in the first trailer. Get another shot of Christian Bale here, looking more like Christian Bale and less like a monster. Like I was talking about him having the lions going up his head like that. So again, I'm really curious as to what his appearance is in this film and whether that I just saw was like a flashback or something like that, or if he can just change his appearance, you know, as he wills. Maybe when he's angry, like, he gets scarier. I don't know. Or maybe that just happens throughout the movie to him. But this July, yes, very excited for the film here. Can't wait to see this in July. I'll definitely get my tickets as soon as possible. We get the Viking ship being pulled by the goats, heading into Olympus. Looks like Jane is fighting some Olympians, looks like. So shit's gonna go wrong there. I'm excited to see that. Some more shots of Gore. Gore putting a sword into the ground and then this moon-looking thing just being disintegrated, essentially. He looks very powerful. And but the shot of Russell Crowe as Zeus from behind that we saw in the first trailer. Valkyrie and Gore the God Butcher fighting on what looks like that moon or planet that he put the sword into and started disintegrating. I'm wondering if she's gonna die in this movie. I don't know. I have a feeling somebody might die, but I don't know who. Like, are they gonna kill off Thor? Who knows? Are they gonna kill off Valkyrie? Who knows? Are they gonna kill off Jane? Who knows? I really don't know. I guess the people that know are just really high up in the Marvel company, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, Valkyrie's only been in, like, two movies, Thor Ragnarok and then Avengers Endgame, so she really hasn't had a whole lot to do. So, I don't think they're gonna kill her, but they could. They can do whatever they want. That Viking ship crashing through a huge window in Olympus, very cool. Thor kicking some ass. Another creepy shot of Gore the God Butcher, Nebula and Drax shooting some shit. What else do we got here? Looks like Thor and Jane, maybe, touching hands a little bit there. In black and white, though. Kind of interesting. And then we have a shot of Gore versus Thor. Gore being like, and then Thor being like, which is kind of cheesy, but okay. Whatever. Looks like Jane summoning lightning with Mjolnir. Very cool. Very cool. And then we get the title card, Thor Love and Thunder. But that's not it. There's something after. And it's kind of a joke. I love it, though. We have Thor in kind of a disguise. I mean, I can tell it's Thor from looking at it. But he's got, like, oh, I'm guessing those are Zeus's, like, lightning bolts or whatever. He has, like, cuffs on his hand, but they're lightning. That's kind of neat. But, yeah, Russell Crowe, we get to see a straight-on shot of him as Zeus. Looking pretty cool. Man. I mean, no offense to him, but he's definitely getting older, isn't he? Man. But yeah, Zeus is like, all right, let's take off that disguise. He flicks his hand, and then all of Thor's clothes come off, and all the ladies pass out. It's funny. And they have the little, like, blur lines over his butt. I wonder if, and this is weird shit, but I wonder if in the movie, they're not going to do, they're not going to do the censoring on his butt, because I feel like we've seen butts in the MCU. Am I wrong? I don't know. I think, yeah, we saw Hulk's butt in Thor Ragnarok. So, I mean, it wouldn't make sense in the movie to blur that, you know? It wouldn't. It you know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to be the weird guy being like, I want to see his butt. But, like, it wouldn't make sense to blur that. Unless maybe, like, somebody had a power to be able to blur things. But, like, that's... I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, he was like, you flicked too damn hard. Or, you flicked too hard, goddammit. Then Jane being like, should we help him? And Valkyrie being like, eh, yeah, eventually. And then she's like, you want a grape? But last shot of the trailer here is Thor with Stormbreaker. About to whew, right onto somebody. So, yeah, in cinemas July. I am very excited for this movie. I'm sure a lot of people are. I'm more excited for it than I was for... Well, I don't know if I can say I was more excited for this one than Doctor Strange. Because I was excited for Doctor Strange going into it. After seeing it, I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest. Will it end up on my top 10 best of this year? I really don't know. Possibly. Depends on what else comes out this year. But, I have a feeling I'm really going to love this movie. I love Taika Waititi's direction, especially in Thor Ragnarok. I thought it was a nice change of pace for the character. At times, I would have liked him to take some aspects a little more seriously. The villain for Thor Love and, or not Love and Thunder, but Thor Ragnarok, kind of weak. Hella, you know, not that great of a villain, to be honest. But Gore has the potential to be a really strong and interesting and just like, versatile villain with a lot of depth to him, and hopefully they pull it off. I know a lot of people love the character. I know nothing about him, so everything here will be new for me for the most part. But yeah, what do you think about this trailer for Thor Love and Thunder? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I definitely love it. I'm excited for this for sure. At this point, seeing these trailers, I think I can safely say that if Doctor Strange wasn't out yet, I'd probably be more excited for this one. I don't know. Just based on what I know now about Doctor Strange, it's easy for me to say that, but I'm pumped for this movie. I really am. It looks so fun. Like, from the first trailer, I was like, all right, this looks pretty fun. I'm excited for it. But after this one, I was just like, whoa, this is gonna be insane. But, yeah, there's gonna be some good shit in this movie. I can't wait. I really can't. And we don't have to wait that long because it comes out in July and that's only like 2 months away. Less than that at this point. But yeah, I think that's all I have to really say about the trailer. I've been going for almost 15 minutes-ish. Not a bad length there for a discussion. So yeah, let me know down in the comments below what you thought of the trailer. And before I go, I actually wanted to mention I have this cool pop culture podcast, Doctor Strange Tea. I will leave a link in the bio to my Tee Public store where you can find this, as well as a new design that I just put out called, or not called, but, the design has, like, hexagons on it, a bee, and dog prints, and it says, my dog stepped on a bee, the whole Amber Heard thing going on right now. So I will leave a link down in the description to go grab some merch. I'd really appreciate it. As of recording this, I think there's, like, maybe 2 days of all the items for that design being 35% off. So like a $22 shirt is now like 14 bucks. So definitely go grab stuff while you can. Those dog stepped on a bee shirts, or not shirts, but just the design and in general will only be available for a limited time, probably just a couple weeks. So grab it while you can. I would very much appreciate it. Or you can grab one of the other many merch items I have available there. They have shirts, hoodies, tank tops. They got freaking baby clothes. They got kid clothes. Got mugs, tapestries, posters, phone cases, stickers, magnets. They got all sorts of stuff there. So I would very much appreciate if you guys went and picked something up from my store there. But yeah, that's all I got for this trailer, the trailer discussion. So I will see you guys in the next one. If you're listening on the podcast, let's get to my first review. All right, so Bob's Burgers season 1/a little bit of season 2, because I also watched a little season 2. But wanted to watch this in preparation for the Bob's Burgers movie because I don't think I've ever really watched this show prior to obviously watching it for this review. But it started back in 2011, still going. I think they're 13 seasons in. And I gotta be honest, when it comes to shows that are anything over maybe like over 10 seasons, it's hard for me to, you know, stay motivated and keep with it and, you know, commit to it, I guess you could say. I'm surprised still that I finished Game of Thrones. That was definitely an accomplishment for me, to say the least. Same when it comes to like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I want to finish Modern Family, but we'll see if I get to that point. By the way, I have these cool Modern Family Funko Pops. I got Jay and I got Claire. I actually found these after I started watching that show, and I was like, holy shit, I need to grab those. But yeah, Bob's Burgers. It's a really fun show. I will say that. It's not my favorite show when it comes to like these adult-oriented animated shows. But it has a lot to love about it. Or maybe not love, but for me, at least a lot to like about it. It stars H. John Benjamin as Bob Belcher, who I believe also plays Archer on the show Archer. And apparently it's saying for these characters 2011 to 2022. So I'm wondering if the show is supposed to end this year, and it just doesn't say it on the rest of the IMDb page, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Maybe they're making the movie and being like, all right, we're done with this. But yeah, H. John Benjamin is Bob Belcher, the main character of the show, who owns the Bob's Burgers restaurant. And we got the kids here. We got Dan Mintz as Tina Belcher. Yes, that is a man doing the voice of a female character. Not the only one here. I'll get to that in a sec. We also have Eugene Merman as Gene Belcher. And Kristen Schaal as Louise Belcher. And then the other character here, that's a man voicing a woman's character, is John Roberts as Linda Belcher, who is the wife to Bob. And, I think it's kind of funny that you have, you know, these basically man voices for the most part. I mean, with Linda, you can kind of tell that, what's his name? John Roberts is trying to like have a little more feminine of a voice. But when it comes to Dan Mintz as Tina Belcher, yeah, that's not a female voice at all, but it's kind of funny, you know? It's quirky. I like it. And that's pretty much the main cast for you there. The Belchers are the main, you know, characters of this show. You have Bob and then his kids and his wife, who all work and own Bob's Burgers and live right above it. And the show's really just about the crazy hijinks they get up to, and also, like, the thing with Bob's Burgers, at least in this first season and throughout season two, it's not very successful. So the reason I would continue watching is just to see, like, if they gain any more success with their business over time. Because that's what I'm really curious about. I want to know, like, is their business going to get better based on what I see in the trailers for the movie? Not really. But we'll see. There are characters in here that I don't necessarily love. I mean, I like certain things about these characters, and then I don't like certain things about these characters. Like Gene, there's a specific scene with him where they're trying to kind of, you know, copy the Family Guy, like, kind of thing that Peter does when he hurts himself. They do that with Gene, and Gene, like, falls on his back onto the ground or something like that, and he's just like, and it literally goes on like that for like maybe 20 seconds. And I'm like, it wasn't really funny to start off with. So there's definitely some humor in the show that doesn't quite land for me. And some of the weird things that they do, I'm just like, what? But some of the weird things they do, I'm just like, what the fuck? But in a good way. You know, like, they do some really wacky shit in this show, and I just love it, man. I mean, for the most part, they don't, I mean, I think it's TV-14, yeah, so, like, I don't know if Family Guy is TV-14 or not, but it doesn't go as hard as Family Guy, I feel like, but it's still pretty more aimed towards adults, not for kids, necessarily. This compared to, like, most of the adult animated shows, this one would probably be a little more okay for kids, but they still have those moments in there where you're just like, yeah, I don't think I want like a
6-year-old hearing that shit, but okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun show. I mean, it has a fun cast of characters. You know, sometimes some of the characters piss me off a little bit because in shows like these, especially like Family Guy and stuff, the characters are just always on, you know? They're always being funny, they're always making jokes, they're always doing the same shit they always do. And they very rarely have any genuine moments, which, you know, some people might be looking at me like, yeah, you're not in the right show. You're not watching the right show if you want genuine moments. Like, these types of shows, they don't really do that. But in a way, this show does have slight genuine moments, but for the most part, they're just undercut by, like, you know, the humor and certain characters just, like, kind of being assholes in a way, which I don't hate. It doesn't piss me off, but I do like it when a show like this can balance the humor and you know, like genuine moments from people, like genuine human moments, because that's what makes people like really love the characters. And I feel like out of all the characters, Bob probably has those genuine moments more than anybody, which works because he's the main character and you're supposed to have that. But also, I would say in a way, the whole family is the main character. You know, it's Bob's Burgers, but they are Bob's Burgers, you know? So I wouldn't say any one character is like mainly the specific character we're focusing on. I mean, easily most people could just say it's Bob that's the main character, but I would definitely say it's more the family as a whole. Because without these family members, I don't think we'd have the show that we have with this one here. I won't lie. I want to try Bob's Burgers. It sounds good. I love burgers. Burgers are my favorite fucking food. If I could eat burgers for every meal, I fucking would. Well, maybe not, but yeah, I really do like me a good burger, so I would definitely try them out. But you know, there's fun situations in this show. Like one episode in particular that I kind of liked was when Linda, the wife, started a bed and breakfast in their upstairs, like where they live. And you know, you had Teddy, one of the regulars that comes to the restaurant. He's kind of stupid, but I love him. You have him sleeping in Luisa's room, and she's just like trying to do stuff to him to like make him leave, like putting beetles on his face and shit. And like, oh man, Luis is fucked up. Out of all of them, I think Luis is the most fucked up child for sure. And she's the one that kind of pisses me off a little bit with those like genuine moments that I was talking about, because sometimes like she can be a real character, but like it's just undercut by her being kind of shitty. But Tina's a funny character. She's definitely the wild card of this show. I don't know. Out of all the kids though, I might have to say, I don't know. It's between Luis and Jean, like out of the two kids that I like the most. Tina, I feel like everybody's just like, oh, it's Tina. She's so funny. Oh my God. Tina's the one you think of when you think of this show, really. If you know anything about this show. You know, you have that gif of her like twerking and stuff, like putting her back. I don't know. Tina's not my favorite. She's supposed to be the wild card. She like says weird fucked up shit and you're just supposed to be like, what the fuck? But that's pretty much all her character is, I feel like. And that could change over time, but that's kind of just all she is to me right now. But Louise, she's the one with like the pink bunny ears. I think she's really funny. She's like a fucked up child that just constantly is getting not only herself, but everybody else around her in trouble. And she's very chaotic for sure. She's a very chaotic child. But Gene overall, he's just like, he's kind of the dumb one, but you know, you still love him. He's funny. He makes dumb jokes. Well, they're not necessarily jokes because he thinks he's, you know, being serious. You know, because that's how dumb people are, I guess. But yeah, he just says certain shit that just makes me laugh. Yeah, he's just one of those characters. But overall, I think my favorite character, I mean, it would have to be Bob at the end of the day, because there's certain things that happen to his character that I completely agree with his reaction to. There are certain, well, not completely agree, but there's one episode where you have these two art dealers that work in the town. I think their shop is called like Reflections or something like that. And Linda's sister, I forget her sister's name, starts painting these pictures of animals, but not just like cute pictures of animals, no, pictures of their anuses. And she puts them all over Bob's restaurant. And at first, Bob is apprehensive to it. And then the two people from that shop come over and they're like, oh, thank God you took it down. That's a monstrosity. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to put that shit back up, because like not too long before he got in an argument with the husband there. And I was just like, yeah, those people are fucking assholes. I would probably, I mean, maybe not want to put pictures of, you know, animal anuses on my restaurant walls. But at the same time, I'd be like, who the fuck are you guys to tell me what I can and can't put on my walls? Like, you guys think they're part of like the art association or some shit like that. And I'm just like, who the fuck are you? Let me see some like identification. You know, you can't just come in here and tell me what I can and can't put on my fucking walls, okay? You know, he has pretty accurate reactions to certain things, like the same way I would probably react to certain things. You know, you have these fucking meatheads, you have this fucking kid that's trying to fight Gene, and this kid's a little asshole. He's like stealing all of Gene's punchlines and stuff like that right as he's trying to say them, and other people laugh at the other kid because he said the punchline, and it's just like, oh, I hate that kid. But after that, like after a while, when Gene stands up for himself, you know, the kid wants to fight him, and then the dad shows up, and then he wants to fight Bob, and Bob's just like, no, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm like, I'm not gonna start a fight with some fucking meathead. Like, look at this fucking asshole. Yeah, I can see where your kid fucking gets it from. But, yeah, I mean, like, Bob has accurate reactions to certain things the same way I would fucking react to him. So I think out of all the characters, I relate to him the most and probably like him the most. I mean, he's pretty much the main character, so you're supposed to like him. But he's just scraping by. You know, he's trying to do his best. He wants to make more money, but at the same time, he loves what he's doing. And I respect him for that. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about season 1/a little bit of season 2 of Bob's Burgers. Season 1, I didn't think it was too bad. Just getting to season 2, I started liking it a little bit more. So maybe I'll continue with it. Season 2 only has like 9 episodes, but first season, I think, is 13. So not really long episodes. They're like 20 to 22 minutes each. Some of them might be a little bit longer depending on the subject material. But yeah, I mean, I can see myself continuing on with this show. Maybe not through the entire thing, but yeah, I'll probably watch a little bit of this show here and there for sure. There's definitely a lot of moments in here that make me laugh. So, you know, I think it's worth continuing. So let me know down in the comments below if you have watched Bob's Burgers. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I'm a little more in the middle right now, but I like it more than I don't. So I think overall, I'm going to give the first season a 6.5 out of 10. Not great, but pretty good. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people won't agree with me. They'll say, wow, this first season of the show is fucking incredible and the best thing I've ever watched. And this is my favorite show. But, you know, just for me, being new to it, I'm like, I could get with this. You know, maybe as I watch it more, I'll appreciate more. But for now, it's not my favorite, for sure. There's just too many shows out there like this to have any of them particularly stand out just over the course of one season. But yeah, Bob's Burgers season 1, that's all I got to say about that. So if you're listening on the podcast, let's get to the next review. If you're listening on or watching on YouTube, I will see you in the next one. All right, so 1986's Top Gun is directed by Tom Scott, right? Tony Scott, my bad. And written by Jim Cash and Jack Epps Jr., based on a magazine article, of all things, called Top Guns by, and I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, Ehud Yonay. It stars Tom Cruise as Maverick, of course. We also have Val Kilmer as Iceman, with Anthony Edwards as Goose, my personal favorite character in this movie. We also have Kelly McGillis as Charlie, Tim Robbins as Merlin, which I'm surprised I didn't recognize him in there, seeing as how Shawshank Redemption's like my favorite movie of all time. But yeah, he's in there too. Tom Skerritt as Viper, and I'll stop there. But yeah, pretty great cast here. And whenever I think of Tom Skerritt and Tom Cruise, I can't help but think of the jokes from Ted. So if you've seen those movies, you know what I mean. But what can I say about this movie that hasn't already been said? I mean, it's a staple of the 80s. It's amongst one of the most popular movies in the 80s. And it's a movie I like for the most part. It's not my favorite. Like I said, Goose, favorite character in the movie. And spoiler alert, he dies in the movie. And it is tragic. Every time that happens in the movie, I can't help but shed a tear. Because Goose is just such a great character. And I don't know, I just like him more than Maverick, because Maverick in the first film was just kind of an arrogant prick for the most part, you know. After Goose dies, he has that, you know, he has that, where he overcomes the obstacle of, like, having to deal with that, but by the end, like, doing what he needs to do to further himself in his career, and using the death of his best friend as a motivator for him to do what he needs to do, and that is the real hook for me in this movie. That's what brings me back to watching it each time I do, which I think I've only seen it like 3 or 4 times at this point. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty solid movie. At times, like, it's hard to follow the, like, dogfights and stuff like that, exactly what's going on, because it just, the way they cut it around, it just cuts from, you know, cockpit shot to, like, jet shot, and it's hard to follow who's in what jet and what's going on. But for the most part, like, it doesn't bother me too much. The final fight of this movie, I'm just kind of like, eh. There's so many better final battle scenes, and that one just doesn't quite do it for me. But overall, I mean, like, the characters in here are why I come back. Mainly Goose is why I come back each time. I mean, Tom Cruise's Maverick, he's an iconic character. Just the way he kind of, like, breaks the rules, bends the rules, and kind of does what he wants. He's kind of the bad boy, but, you know, he has the character arc in there to kind of change his ways throughout the film. And, you know, people that he was feuding with before, like Iceman, you know, you got that iconic line. And I'm probably butchering the exact line, but you can be my wingman any day. Like, oh, hell yeah. But there are definitely a lot of homosexual undertones in this movie. After watching the recent retro review from Double Toasted, I went back and rewatched the movie, and I was like, yeah, I can definitely see what they mean. I mean, I always knew it was kind of there with the whole greased up shirtless volleyball scene, but, you know, just the subtle looks that certain characters give to each other, I'm just like, yeah, that's kind of gay. But, like, I don't have anything against anybody who's gay, bi, trans, anything like that. But it's hard not to see it after somebody points that out, and it's like, oh, I can see at that point. But I can also look past that and see, you know, overall, it's mainly just the chemistry between Goose and Maverick in this movie that does it for me, and their bond, and just how tragic it is when he loses his wingman. Like, oh my God, just gets me every freaking time, dude. And you know, by the way, I'm recording this review after watching Top Gun Maverick. I did watch the original Top Gun before watching that in preparation. I just didn't get a chance to record this until now. But, you know, like, Goose is even kind of the hook of the new movie in a way, because you have Miles Teller as, like, the new, you know, his son, the new Goose, essentially. And I don't know, just, like, whenever there's callbacks, like, you know, talk to me, Goose. Like, oh my God, that line, oh, fucking gets me. But I'm getting off topic here. I'm talking about the new one, and I need to talk about the old one. You know, it's definitely not as good. If I'm comparing, it's definitely not as good as the new one. The new one's updated. It does a lot right for me, and it improves upon the original. But at the same time, we wouldn't have what we have there if we didn't have this original movie. So there's a lot I appreciate about this. Just the work that went into it, and the actors that are in there. Like, I think we should all treasure Val Kilmer in this movie, because, you know, just seeing the way he is now, and if you don't know, I forget exactly what what's going on with him. I think he might have some form of cancer. Or, you know, he has some disease going on. I watched a bit of a documentary that was about that. And it just makes me cherish those kinds of actors that either are sick and not doing so well, like Bruce Willis is right now. You know, it just kind of breaks my heart to know about these kinds of things and to hear about them and to look back on movies that either people who are passed on or people that are, you know, not doing too well. To see them in the movies looking lively. I mean, I don't know them personally, but it just warms my heart to see them, like, lively and stuff like that. And, oh, I'm making myself emotional, but, you know, it's good to see them like that because it's just hard. I know how it is to, like, see somebody who's sick and, yeah. I'll stop talking about it there because I'm tearing up right now. But, yeah, I mean, Iceman in this movie, he's pretty iconic too. And I can't lie, there are some, like, kind of sexual, not sexual, but, like, kind of flirty looks that he gives towards Tom Cruise at times in this movie. But there is a really good scene after Goose passes away where Iceman's, like, trying to talk to Maverick and, like, you know, just apologizing and, like, saying sorry for his loss and just saying, like, everybody loved him. And, you know, he didn't say too much, but, oh, and this is making me emotional, too, because, like, Goose is my favorite freaking character, dude. And every time I watch it, I'm just like, I hate what they do, but, like, they have to because it motivates Maverick in the end and it makes the ending so much better. But, oh, it hurts so much, dude, especially since he had a wife and a kid. And just knowing that the kid grows up to, like, struggle, you know? Oh, man. I love Goose. Goose is seriously the best character. And if you can't tell by now, this review is kind of off the rails. But I kind of imagined it would be like this. Because, you know, there's only so much I can say about it. But, like, Top Gun in general, I guess I'll tell you what Top Gun is. It's a school for the best of the best when it comes to, you know, pilots. And that's where Maverick and Goose get sent to in the beginning of this movie. And basically the goal of this movie is for them to get their name on a plaque. And, you know, by the time they get to the final fight of this movie, you know, the fight actually comes to them. It's not just them, like, trying to be the best and trying to be number one. It's them actually trying to fight for something that matters. And, I mean, it makes it impactful. But like I said, the final battle of that was just a little hard for me to follow. Just the dogfighting scenes in general were a little bit hard for me to follow in the original. But overall, I still love the movie. I don't know if I said this before, but like top 50 at least. I know that's not great, but still. I mean, there's so many things I love about it. But obviously the thing I love most is Goose. So yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to say about it really. Other than like I love the love interest in this movie, Charlie. I think she's a great love interest in the film. You know, I just love that she's actually like, she works for Top Gun. She's like an important person there. And they don't figure that out until like the night after, you know, Maverick was trying to hit on her at the bar and stuff like that. So many great scenes with Maverick and stuff, like, you know, seeing all the pilots at the bar and just like partying and stuff like that and having fun. And the whole scene of, you know, Goose playing the piano and singing the music, like, freaking love it. But it makes it even harder to know what comes after that. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about the original Top Gun from 1986. I would love to know what you guys think of this movie. Have you seen it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you in the middle? I know a lot of people love this movie, and then there's some people who just don't care. But it's a staple of the 80s, so to say it wasn't influential for its time or for now in general, I think that would be selling it a little bit short. But yeah, really great movie overall. Not my favorite. I definitely like the new one better. But still a pretty solid film. And yeah, justice for Goose, that's for sure. But if you're listening on the podcast, is there anything else to review? I don't know. I don't think so. So this will probably be the last review of the episode. So thank you guys for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Comment, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. I would very much appreciate it. And keep your eyes open for my review of Top Gun Maverick, which should be coming not too long after this video. So, yeah, I'll see you in the next one.